Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello there and welcome back to the Pod Tims channel. It is myself, Darren, and today I'm with Andy and Tony as we discuss what's going to be a massive week in Celtic season. This Sunday they go away to Tynecastle, and then for a trip to Hibs the following weekend we have the small matter of a home Champions League game against Atletico Madrid to look forward to as well. I know it's been a few weeks since we've been on, but we'll just focus on the future. We're back now. Andy, it's been the international break, I don't know about you, but they always see me going forever for me. I know Scotland obviously got the qualification for the Euros secured, and Kyogo got on the score sheet for Japan, but it's been, it feels like forever since that Kilmarnock game, Celtic won 3-1. How are you feeling about this game coming up at the weekend? As I say, it's a pretty big week. It's the space of 7 days, we'll have two trips to Edinburgh, plus a pretty much make or break Champions League game, I believe.
It's a big couple of games coming up, as you say, within the space of 7 days. You've got three massive games, really. Trip to Tynecastle, we've seen him a million times. It can be a difficult place for us to go at times, and they'll make it hard. Obviously, they've had a few things sort of moved about with their management. Whether that's worked or no, I'm 100% certain on, but as you say, they'll make it tough. They'll make it a bit of a dogged game, and try and stop us from playing our football, which you would expect, but we've got to be ready for that. Thankfully, as far as I'm aware, I think we're coming out pretty much, anybody that was away on international duty is coming back pretty alright across the board. I don't think we've picked up any other major injuries that I've heard about, which is good. You've got guys like Kyogo scoring goals. I know Hitati as well was, the Japan manager was talking him up, and saying, talking about how versatile he is and the ability that he's got. So he's obviously been performing well. The boys are away with Scotland, look, Callum McGregor and things, they'll obviously be coming back full of confidence, with having achieved what they've achieved. So, clean bill of health is important, but getting into a massive game against Hearts, obviously just wanting to sort of strengthen our position at the top of the table, will be, I think, St Mirren and Rangers will play before us, obviously, on the Saturday before we go, so we'll know exactly how the table will look after that game and after this round of fixtures, after that, after we've been to play Hearts. But I would say it's a game I'm looking forward to. As you say, I think even though Scotland have qualified, and it's been good international break for once, which is not something you often get to see watching Scotland, but good to get back to the Celtic games and get domestic football back, because it does drag in and you feel it's a bit low sort of looking on the calendar and no see any home or away ties coming up. And as you say, we're right back in the thick of it. So the players that haven't been away, I'm sure, have been wanting hard at Lennox Town anyway. But I'm interested to see Dan and see how we line up going to Tynecastle, but it's a game I'm looking forward to.
I definitely, as you say, Tynecastle's always one of the sort of highlights of the season. As you say, the international break, it was relatively good for Celtic and the players in terms of not getting anybody injured. Obviously, Matt O'Reilly got called up to the senior Denmark squad, which was good. I think that was really well deserved for his start to the season. I think he's been our best player. I don't think anybody would really dispute that at this point of the season. And as you say, Kyogo is not always... obviously missed out in the World Cup squad last week, but he's on the score sheet for Japan, and Hitachi was obviously involved as well there. I know Maeda dropped out of it just after the Kamarnock game, so hopefully his whatever injury he's carrying was just a sort of precaution. And as you say, the Scotland players, good for the aim, always good to see them at big competitions. That's now 2 Euros in a row that they'll have qualified for. And I know it was only a friendly, but I thought Greg Taylor really equipped himself well against France on Tuesday night. And that's obviously good. He's obviously doesn't get much game time for Scotland when he likes Robertson and Tierney and ahead of him usually. So I thought it was relatively good. And I was watching the Celtic TV interview with Brendan Rodgers that they put up on their YouTube this morning. And he seemed to be saying that it is really only Leah Labada and Stephen Welsh are sort of longer term at the moment, and I thought it was quite encouraging. He was saying that Mike Narochke was quite close to being back to fitness. Obviously wasn't included in the European squad, but good to see him back. So obviously we paid quite a lot of money for him, and I know Liam Scales has equipped himself very well, but I think in time you're going to want to see more from guys like Lagerbielke and Narochke. So Tony, how are you feeling about this trip to Tynecastle? I know it is sort of seen as a difficult place to go, but since Angelo's done his first league game against them, we've won 9 games in a row against Hearts in all competitions. That's League Cup, Scottish Cup and League. So is it sort of, do you think it's sort of a bit of a myth now that Celtic struggle when they go to places like Tynecastle?
I don't know if it's so much a myth, because we've still had some really hard games. Like, if you remember when we won the league there under Ange, just at the last end of last season, it was a tough game. We were pretty woeful. I think they went down to 10 men and then we kind of motored on after that. So, no, I think it's still a tough place to go and you need to be on your game. And we've got even less fans this time. I think we've got like 500 fans, which is probably the lowest we've had at any game, apart from obviously Ibrox, where we've had zero. But I think it'll be a tough game. It always is. They'll want to make sure we drop points. I'm assuming Rangers will be slightly rejuvenated because we've got a new manager in for the game against Hibs. So you've got to assume the gap's going to be cut to 4 points. Mind you, I've said that quite a lot of times before and we've ended up extending the gap. So, no, I think the players will know it's a tough game and they'll definitely not be going there thinking that it's a myth we can struggle. So I'm expecting a tough game for sure, but if we play our game, then we should be able to win. I say that every season, regardless of manager or competition. If we play our best, we should beat every team in this league. And the same rules apply against Hearts on Sunday. But I agree with what you said. I'm not really a great fan of international football. I guess it's good for Scotland that they managed to qualify, and probably a big boost for the likes of Callum McGregor and Greg Taylor. And as far as I know, no injuries as well, which is all you can hope for. So I'm desperate to get back. I know Brendan Rodgers had a kind of intimate do with kind of corporate Celtic fans last night. One of my mates was at it and he says it was really good. Brendan was obviously talking away about when he left the club, his plans for the future. I think he was talking about staying for a long time. I don't know if I believe that, but yeah, if he's going to be here for a while, that's good. And I'm all for it. But yeah, it's also a big game next Wednesday as well, where we basically need to beat one of the best teams in Spain, which is going to be very difficult. But due to the late goal we conceded against Lazio, it's kind of made the Champions League a bit of an impossible task. So, but just glad to have Celtic back. And as you say, getting injured players back as well. It's good to have CCV back. And hopefully Naroki's next. And then Abada, which is obviously, I think Abada's been at the... But in the news a bit, despite being injured, but I'm sure we can kind of touch on that briefly at some stage. But looking forward to Sunday.
I know, I'm the same, and I know we were talking about it in the group chat the other day. It's, you can't wait for the game to come, but I don't know, I'm not worried about it. Our years, like, you're right, we weren't very good that day that we did seal two in a row last season for Ange, but I just think, I don't know, Hearts are a bit, we obviously chucked away a two-goal lead against Hibs in the last game, and I think it's only a matter of time before Naismith is sort of found out with there. I think when he came in the sort of interim charge last season, he didn't do particularly well, and I think that Rodgers should have too much sort of managerial knowledge and just skill to. I find it tough to see Hearts causing as much bother on Sunday. Andy, speaking, we'll concentrate on the Hearts game before we look to Atletico. How would you be looking to line up? As I say, it's there's only a few players missing now. The injuries have sort of calmed down, but would you expect it to be a pretty similar lineup to the one that started against Kilmarnock about 10 days ago?
You've got to assume so. I think your bigger surprises, if you call them that, would probably come in the back line. Obviously, with Carter Vickers coming back, that sort of picked things about a bit. When he came on against Lazio, and then obviously he came in to start the game against Kilmarnock. I think, as far as I'm aware, to get game time in the USA's two international games. Obviously, Lagerbäck scored for Sweden, which was a surprise to a lot of people in one of their games. Then obviously you've got Nat Phillips, who has been very, very good any time he's played for us. So really you've got sort of three fit centre-halves, and obviously you've got Scales, who's done everything that was asked him to play for the two games that Ireland had as well. So obviously there's sort of four fit centre-halves there that seem to be doing well, and you've got Norocci to still come back as well. I don't think he'll be in contention, but I think that'll be the area that you're seeing the most change, if any. I think the rest of the team will probably stay pretty similar. I know Bernardo got a goal for the Portuguese under-21s as well. So he's obviously been playing. I think he played both of the games when I had a look as well. But you would assume that it's going to be sort of Hitati, McGregor, and O'Reilly in the middle. Again, maybe wide areas is something that we might see something different if you see Yang starting or Palmer. So I think it'll be similar sort of selection to what we've seen. I think you might maybe one or two, depending on international, or if anybody does maybe had a wee niggle or just a bit fatigued from the way coming back. I think that would be the main changes. But I'd be looking to get as close to our strongest 11 as possible. So that would include starting Carter Vickers. I think based off of what I've seen of fit centre half, Nat Phillips is probably your best out of the remaining options. I would be going. I'd be going as strong a team as we could. I've actually liked to look at Palma the more I've seen him and the more he's played. I think I'm sure I had a look as well, and I'm sure he got an assist in one of Honduras' games. So he seems to be getting a bit of form, and he's one of the players he looks to sort of improve every game he's played. Obviously, he's started just coming off the bench, and then they get a start against Kilmarnock and get a tremendous goal. He would be somebody I'd be looking to get a start and hopefully kick on and sort of cement his place in the first team. And then you're looking at Kiel coming back in to start up top, and then probably Maeda to be on the right-hand side. But I don't think there'll be too many changes. And I think it's players' opportunities are going to come off the bench to make their impact and sort of stake their claim to get into the first team. And I think that's what players have got to look to do, and they know they'll get the opportunities under Rodgers, and they know if they impress, they'll come into the team. So I'm looking forward to see the appetite of some players and players who are maybe on the fringes a bit and sort of try to work their way in, like your Bernardos and things like that, and see how they can try and force themselves into the team there.
I completely agree with you, especially I think the Palma and Yang debate's one that's sort of been going on. I think at this point, to me, Palma looks like he's got a bit more end product. Now, don't get me wrong, I think Yang's looked all right. I know a lot of people sort of criticised like some of his performances, but I think a lot of his games there, it is just maybe that final pass or that final decision that he makes that sort of let him down. But he's still a young boy. Like, things 2021. Like, he's still learning. I think he there's a lot of like attributes there that are good to see, and I think the time will come when he gets himself in like contention for a starting place. And as I said, I don't know the extent of Daisy Maeda's injury and why he withdrew from the Japan squad. I'm hoping that was just sort of precaution. If no, then you might even get both of them playing on Sunday, Yang and Palma. As you say, I think Paolo Bernardo's one. He's probably one of the new signings that we've seen the least amount of. But as you say, with that sort of midfield three, Hitati, O'Reilly and McGregor, it's sort of tough to get any of them out of their positions at the moment, because obviously, I know Hitati took some stick for a couple of poor performances early in the season, but I thought that Kamarna game was by far and away his best performance of the season, so it'd be, I just kind of see anyway he won't be starting on Sunday. And it's a shame, because obviously Bernardo, as you say, he's playing consistently for the Portugal under-21s, and do you know, when he came on against Lazio, I thought he looked quite tidy, but it's just a case of like McGregor's the captain and playing well. Matt O'Reilly, as I say, Zeller's been far and away been our best player this season, and Hatati's on his days probably the best player at the club, and that just sort of limits the options to you guys like Bernardo game time off the bench. But like, as at the same time, like you still got five subs, it could be very important to come off the bench. It's this sort of like, he looks very confident when he's came on. As I said, that Lazio performance, I did really like the look of him. And the centre-half on it, you made good points. I think Nat Phillips has looked okay when he's been there. Lagerbielke, I know, sort of been up and down from what we've seen, but as you say, had a good international break, scored for Sweden as well. And Liam Scales, who, as Rodgers has labelled him, like one of the surprise packages of the season, and another one who got rewarded by getting his international call-up in games for Ireland. So I know you've went for Phillips. I think just for a bit of balance, I think it probably will be Scales that stays there, I think. But we've sort of spoke at length, I know, a few years. Like, I think Scales is a good defender, but I think he's very questionable when he's on the ball. And I know we don't play out as much from the back as we did under Ange, but I just think at times, like, I think he's got the right sort of idea. He'll out the centre-half stuff out against Lazio, he was the one that looked to seem to be trying to make it happen and try to bring it out, but that obviously seen a few mistakes happen. But as I say, I think he's an absolutely solid defender, so I think he'll be there for now when the likes of Nurochki is back fit and Lagerbielke's got a few more months to settle in. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up on the bench, and that's no disrespect to him. I just think Celtic will be looking for a return on these guys that they've spent a good few million pound on, but I know maybe over there a bit longer term. So I know Bickles was asked about returning to the Premier League and international duty, and he says, I thought his answer was fine. I know some people wouldn't like him say it, but he says if that came, he would it's something that he wouldn't mind. But he also said he was very happy at Celtic, so I think that was a fair response from him when he gave his response to the journalist. But Tony, have you any sort of major changes to the team you'd like to see on Sunday? As I say, I think the sort of only debate at present does seem to have been like most recently between Yang and Palma, and just whoever you think would partner Cameron Carter-Vickers.
I think Scales will stay in with Vickers. I think Rodgers is obviously a fan, so I'd assume he's going to stay with him for now. That I'm assuming it will change due to, as he says, the money spent. But again, if Scales is the best out of the other centre-halves, and we should keep him playing. But again, I agree with you. I don't think he's play on the balls very good at times. So, but he'll only get better, so he's a good option to have. I think Palma definitely starts in the wing. And I think for what I picked up from Rodgers' kind of corporate thing last night, made us his man. So I think he'll definitely play the other wing, but he'll go up front. And as you mentioned, Kyogo obviously scored when he was on international duty, which is good, because I know he struggles to get game time for Japan as well, so I was happy for him to see him scoring. Midfield probably picks itself. Again, it's a shame for guys like Holm or Bernardo, but you think as the season goes on they will get more of a chance, but just now, big away game and then big home game against Madrid. I don't see Rodgers making too many changes unless he tries some kind of tactical change against Madrid to kind of stop their attack, which obviously has a lot of power and a lot of pace and a lot of good players in it. So, but no, I think Hearts will be pretty much the team you would expect. I don't see any major changes, as I say. I'm just glad Vickers is back, and I'm glad Hitati seems to be looking like he's about to pick up form, which is what we need. A kind of an informed Rio Hitati really makes Celtic click. So, I don't see any major changes. Again, whenever I've seen home or Bernardo, apart from when home decided to put us down to nine men, I think they've looked tidy enough. But I wouldn't be starting any of them or making any silly changes about Hearts. You don't want to give your Hearts any confidence if they see Hitati's on the bench, or I don't know, McGregor not starting or something crazy like that, then they probably take a bit of confidence for that. So I think that's what you want to avoid. So no major changes against Hearts, and hopefully we can get a win. I agree with you, Dan. I'm not particularly nervous. There's no reason why we can't go there and get a result. I think Naismith is still under a lot of pressure, and as you say, it's just really, it would be really strange if Stephen Naismith was to get one over Brendan Rodgers. Same way I thought it was always going to be weird if Michael Beale was to get one over Rodgers as well. I've just never seen him beating Rodgers to a league because he's a rookie. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's just good to be back, and hopefully we can get a positive result. And if Hibs manage to do us a favour, we stretch the lead and hopefully score quite a few goals as well. And then it's all to play for, get into that Atletico Madrid game, which is going to be interesting because I don't know how many fans are going to be there as well.
Well, we may as well cover that because I know we don't hide for things on this podcast. There's obviously been some speculation, and I would add that speculation at this point. I don't think there's been anything sort of confirmed as we record from the club. Obviously, the club got a fine, I think. I can't remember the amount, but regarding the banner against Lazio and during the last few weeks as well, they've also released a statement regarding the banner that was at the Walnut game regarding Palestine, and I'm sure everybody that's listening is aware of it, and that has sort of led to responses from the ultras groups. I think both Green Brigade and North Curve and Boys have both sort of released sort of stuff on their social media, and it's led to calls to bring Palestine flags to the Atletico Madrid game, which I think was generally well received by the support. I would say the majority of the support has probably responded well, but again, we don't speak for the majority of the support, so I'm not going to put that in sort of bold as well. But obviously some people that weren't happy with it, and there's people that are worried that it's going to lead to more fines and potential stadium closures, which I think is a bit exaggerated. But as Tony sort of alluded to, there's sort of rumours going about yesterday saying that the people that sit in that sort of North Cove section or a particular part of it had their sort of ticket access revoked to buy tickets for Hearts away, Hibs away and Atletico Madrid away as well, from what I believe. As I say, this is all sort of speculation. There's not been anything official from the club. I'll come back to you, Tony, since you brought it up. It does seem like, as much as I've said, the majority of the responses I've seen have been positive towards the planned sort of display of solidarity. It is sort of causing wee sort of whispers, and I think Celtic would be completely shooting themselves in the foot if they did go down that sort of line of no giving these sort of ultra groups access to their seats for this game on Wednesday or any game in particular, and sort of standing in the way of this planned sort of, as I say, show of solidarity.
I mean, it's a very difficult subject to discuss, because as much as you're discussing people not getting to see a game of football, the crux of it is hundreds of thousands of people have been murdered in Palestine. So it's easy for people to say, oh, just focus on the football, but it's quite difficult. I mean, I've stopped using Twitter. I can't argue with any more people on your podcast account or my own account. I've not really used it for the last kind of 10 days or so, because it's a cesspit, and it's just, I can't really listen to it. And I think it's just, I don't think the Green Brigade should be banned for any reason. I think stadiums are morgue as it is, even with them at times. And I think it'd be even worse. And I see people on Facebook groups saying, oh, well, we made the atmosphere before the Green Brigade and it'll still be there. And I don't believe it for a minute. I think the atmosphere is dependent on the ultra groups now, the boys and the Green Brigade. And I think if they weren't to be there for a Champions League game, it would be dreadful to listen to. I think even the last Champions League game, no harm to Rhiannon Downey, I think you call her, a great singer, but I just don't think that was the right idea to build an atmosphere before a game. It just didn't work. And I think, for, I know I'm away on a tangent here, but you need to bear with me. For example, you never walk alone. You should always cut the music, let the fans finish it. That's the kind of, that's always been a thing. And so I think if they were to ban them for this Atletico Madrid game, it would be unjustified, really. I mean, the club probably cashed in the last time there was a display in support of Palestine, and Rogers Waters was using the display, concerts and stuff like that. And I think that's when the club probably went, oh, this is great. This is probably quite positive in terms of financially and for our reputation, whatever else. So, you know what? I don't think the club will ban them. I think they'll be looking at social media and looking at the more people are coming out and supporting Palestine, Mohamed Salah, Khabib Nurmagomedov, I think Cantona coming out and support as well. So they're probably looking, going, oh, maybe it'll not be so bad and we'll get some good publicity. So I think that's the way they operate. I think they just, I don't know if their views really much align with the views of the Celtic support or the kind of founding principles of Celtic. So, for me, it's, as I say, it's a contentious issue. An issue that's ranged to, I think, the 40s in Palestine. As I say, millions of people are in a kind of war, and there's, I think, 2 million people in Gaza in an open-air prison, so it's not really something I'm qualified to talk about, but if it means we get a fine of £25,000 or something like that by UEFA for showing solidarity, I think I can live with that. As I said before, nobody's cost us more money than the people on that board with our stupid managerial appointments in the past and the countless Champions League qualifying campaigns they've blown, and unfortunately we've no banned them. So from my point of view, the people on the board have cost us much more than the Green Brigade will ever cost us, and I think the support would do well to remember that. So for me, I hope the Green Brigade are there on Wednesday. I hope they're away. I hope they're in Madrid. I hope they're at Hartwell Hearts. It's obviously a bit more difficult because there's not a lot of tickets, but I hope there's no ban. I think that would be silly, and I think it would lead to protests, and which maybe wouldn't be a bad thing. I mean, I think we've said before, this board really got off with one when, due to the kind of the complete competence of Ange Postecoglou, which kind of had their incompetence, i.e. the Bernard Higgins scenario for a start, and then bringing back Peter Lawwell, which we've spoke about to death, even if he isn't involved in certain things, that his presence is just negative, and it makes kind of fans paranoid and thinks that anything is wrong, he's played a part. So I could go on and on for days for this, but for me, I hope the Green Brigade are there for sure. I hope the boys are there. I hope it's a great atmosphere. I hope they show support for the Palestinian cause. And then I hope we kind of then press on and support the team to the baby can do, and Celtic Park can become a fortress again, and we can actually beat somebody in the Champions League for a change. So that's my hope for Wednesday, but I guess we'll just need to wait and see. I mean, it would be very much like the Celtic board to shoot Celtic in the foot while Celtic are doing reasonably well domestically and have a really good manager in charge. So I've said my piece, and maybe I'll go back to Twitter in a couple of weeks as well.
I think you're right. I think some of the sort of stuff that's come out the last few weeks has been a bit ridiculous, to be honest. I think the statement itself that Celtic had on their website, that they didn't really post anywhere on social media but thought they could sneak it on the website and they would see, was completely ridiculous. I think anybody that knows the history of the club and just what Celtic stands for and what the support's all about, for them to come out with that statement, I've not got it in front of me, so I'm not going to quote from it, but it was just ridiculous. And the way they went about it seemed quite sleek as well, to sneak it on there. And I think it was just a couple of days after they'd been blaring Grace and Bella Chow over the tannoy. They had no problem with bringing sort of politics into football then, as people called out the hypocrisy as well. Like last year when the Ukraine-Russia war was everything that was in the headline, Celtic were quite happy and quite right to welcome some sort of displaced Ukrainian refugees to Celtic Park for the Shakhtar Donetsk game. But it's just ridiculous, the sort of outrage that it seems to have caused in some quarters. And I, as you say, Tony, maybe the fact that there are sort of notable voices coming out now, and even some of the mainstream media outlets, like your likes of Channel 4, and I've been covering it a bit more fairly and showing the atrocities that are happening across Palestine, that have been happening for like as long as I can remember. And I think people need to realise that, like, I know I've seen some comments. We had some dimension as saying next week's only about 3 points. But when are people like it? I know we're massive Celtic fans. Celtic is our life. We love Celtic to death. But for people to come out and say, oh, nah, 3 points is all that matters next week, and sort of distracting from that, they should be banned and they should not be letting the ground. It's just no, I can only speak for myself, but it's not what I've sort of been brought up and embracing in Celtic sort of tradition, like, and what I've learned. Like, everything, like, politics is everywhere. It's not just for, oh, you can talk about it when you're in the house, or you can post it on Twitter, but oh, when you're in Celtic Park, don't you think about bringing a Palestine flag or showing any sort of solidarity with them? I think, as you say, I don't think it's going to have any impact on the result. Like, you'd think we'd been doing it every Champions League home game for the last 10 years if people are thinking that's the reason that we might not win next week. It's our record in Europe's been abysmal, and as you say, it's the people in the boardroom that are mainly responsible for that, and as you say, they've not been banned. As I say, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but I know that I'll be very much in favour of next week's sort of plan, show solidarity, and I'll urge other people to if it's what they believe in as well. I think Celtic Park's the perfect place to demonstrate it. Like, you're in front of the world's TV cameras, and like, you're part of a massive crowd, and as I say, I think the majority of fans that I've spoke to personally are sort of in favour of showing solidarity. And as I say, Celtic Park, you pay your money if you want to, if that's where you want to go and show your support for other causes, and fair play. Like, we'll see what happens. As I've said throughout this, there's no been anything official from the club at the time of recording, but if people are not able to get access to their ticket accounts to get tickets for upcoming games, then it does lead you to wonder what is going on. So hopefully there is a bit more clarity, and as you say, hopefully everybody is in attendance and watches Celtic at Celtic Park next week. But Andy, we're not going to spend a full episode on it, because as Tony said, we're not qualified enough. We're all well aware of what's happening. But have you got any right to add before we move on to the game next week?
No, I very much agree with what you have both said. Wouldn't surprise me if the club go and make an arse, shoot themselves in the foot, because it's ultimately we are run by utter arseholes. There's Tories right throughout the boardroom, and they're acting exactly as you would expect in circumstances like this. It just wouldn't surprise me when it came out about them suspending tickets and all the rest of it. If that's what the route they were going to go down, they would rather people just paid their money, turned up and fucked off and never said a word. We've seen it. I mean, this is a cause above all else. Like, it goes by, if you think about the way they acted, even when we just wanted rid of a manager, they were acting like this. And now look at it, like, football is inherently linked to politics. You're never getting rid of them in any club more than Celtic. Anybody that's grown up a Celtic fan and knows the first thing about history knows that the two are linked. They're always going to be linked, and no matter how much resistance is pushed against that, fans are always going to see them linked. And Dan, you make the best point about, like, you're in the Champions League, all the cameras are on, massive game. That's the perfect time for people to show solidarity. It's the perfect time to get as much reach as possible. And I just think some people are fucking wired to the moon. Like, they really are. You've seen some of the comments with people, and they're the sort of folk that the board want. And they're kidding themselves. So I think it was Tony that said if they believe that fans staging protests or fans doing walkouts or whatever it may be, if they're blaming that on Celtic's performances in Europe, because there's nobody else other than the manager at the time, the board at the time, for our performances in Europe. And the same goes for the people banging on about the atmosphere. The atmosphere at Parkhead has been shite for fucking years. They're kidding themselves on when people talk about European nights. We've all been gone for long enough. I've seen it when it's at the best. That would rival anywhere. I've been in there when it was a fortress and teams didn't want to come and play because it was a hard place to get a result. That's not the case anymore. And that goes to the fans. Like, they're quick to blame, whether it be Green Brigade, or they're quick to blame the boys for that's the reason nobody wants to sing, nobody wants to start a chant and all that shite. But then they're right away, the minute they're banned, they're wanting, but that's the excuse. They're hurting the club, they're doing everything else, so they can't have it both ways. But ultimately what it comes down to is some things in life are bigger than football, Darren. As you say, it's our lives. we all go to the football, we go everywhere, and it's a big impact on us. But ultimately, there's a loss of life happening in the world, and it's, Tony mentioned, it's an open air prison these people are living in. It's a disgrace what's happening, and we should all be on the right side of history here, and there should be solidarity across that entire stadium. And the board shouldn't get away with, if that's the route they want to go down, there should be as maximum amount of pushback on that as possible. And I think that's probably the message that the vast majority of fans that I've seen or spoke to or know, and even that you see online, seem to be taking that stance. And I think it's absolutely spot on. We can't let the board get away with that either and just try and silence us. And as you say, they've got the cheek to try and distance politics and football, but they're blasting out Bella Chow, knowing fine well what Lazio are and what their fans are. Like, it's hypocrisy at the highest level, but it's nothing less than what you expect through a board. But all I can say is fuck them. And I hope to see as many Palestine flags as possible. And a massive get up you to the board, but also, more and above that, solidarity shown to what's happening earlier at the minute.
Yep, definitely. But we will see what happens, and I'm sure we'll see how it goes. But Tony, how big is the actual game next Wednesday? As the way the group stands at the moment, Atletico Madrid are on 4 points, so are Lazio, and Feyenoord are on 3, so we're already playing catch-up. How imperative is it that Celtic get, don't even want to talk about getting a draw and getting 1 point on the board? Even looking to catch third place now, it looks like we're going to have to get a good number of points from the next doubleheader against Atletico.
I think I said in the Lazio game that I expected us to win, but it wouldn't surprise me if we ended up losing, which happened. I don't expect us to beat Atletico Madrid, I need to be totally honest. I think Europe's kind of, I think we've had it already. I know that's a really pessimistic view, but I don't see where the points are coming from. I don't think we're strong enough. I don't want to harp on, but we've fucked up the transfer window. Did they strengthen enough in certain areas that needed it? So I think we need to win if any chance, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to beat Atletico Madrid. I think they'll be too strong for us. Don't get me wrong, I think Rodgers is the right person for us in Europe, and I think if we actually de-strengthen in January and then strengthen next summer, I know it's probably really depressing. I'm already chucking in Europe and thinking of next year, but I think we've kind of, we've fucked it up with the window. I don't think we're strong enough, so I'm not going too much. I think we need to win. I think a draw is probably a nice result because it stops us kind of run our losses at home. I know, but it was the last game we drew 1 each with Shakhtar. Was that the last game at home? I guess we could do with a win just to get rid of that kind of voodoo, but no, I think we'll get beat. I can't really kid myself on. I know that's really fucking awful, but we need a win. I don't think we'll get it.
I see where you're coming from. I think it's the way the group's set up, it does look pretty pessimistic for our chances. Obviously, Lazio and Feyenoord will go ahead with each other, and I think my worry is that there's every chance that they'll probably share the points, and that one could win one, and they could both win the home game against each other, and then you're in a really poor position where, unless you've took 4 or 6 points for Atletico, you're really up against it and probably long odds on to finish bottom of the group. I think, I hate to be talking like this already after only 2 games, but I think the best sort of hope for Celtic would be that Lazio somehow beat Feyenoord twice, because if they do that, then you're then, even if you do manage to pick up a point or two in the sort of next 2 games, then you've got the Lazio away game. Like, I think we merely matched Lazio, and if it wasn't for Palmer's goal being disallowed, we would have been deserved winners that night. But the problem is that by the time that Feyenoord game comes around on match day 6, the group could be done. So I think my only sort of hope at the moment is that one of the two teams, probably Lazio, just because they're on 4 points and Feyenoord's on 3, but hopefully one of them wins both games so that you have a fighting chance of catching either Lazio by beating them in Rome or Feyenoord by just, we might look back in a few weeks and be thankful that we only lost 2-0 that night in Rotterdam, because if it could come down to like head to head, if we've got that something to play for in the last game, then Celtic Park will be up for it. I know we've just sort of had a go at the atmosphere, but I think if it was a sort of win or bust game, I think the crowd would be up for it. But Andy, what's your thoughts? Are you as pessimistic as Tony? I know Feyenoord were the pot one team, but the Atletico were the sort of big name that everybody sort of looked at when we were drawn against them.
Aye, I think that we all realistically know, obviously, just the way the pots can work sometimes. If teams have a poor finish in the season, whatever it may be. We all knew realistically that Atletico Madrid are the best team in that group. I think you're seeing that by their performances so far this season. They've had wee blips here and there, but I mean, they've beat Real Madrid, they've already beat Feyenoord, beat Sociedad, who are also flying. They beat them recently as well. Like, they're playing really, really well. You know what you're going to get out with an Athletic Madrid team. They've been managed by Simeone for long enough, and they're a fucking nightmare to break down at times, but they've got some right good football players. World Cup winners like Depaul and Molina, and then you've got Griezmann. Obviously, you would think most people know how good he is, but I try to stay positive, like you say. I mean, if you be some fucking divine miracle come out of that game with 3 points, if they just didn't turn up and the sort of stars aligned for us with a performance, you come out with 3 points, you're then looking, right, what's the Lazio score? And you need to hope that Lazio went and beat Feyenoord, because then we'd be levelling points. And then again, you would be hoping that they can go and beat them in the reverse tie. And then either way, any point gained when we go to Madrid would be another bonus to that. But aye, we need to, if we want to really realistically do anything, we need to go and win the game. And we need to hope that Lazio will beat Feyenoord. Anything else, I think, is a bit of a disaster. But we've put ourselves in that position. As I said, look, Tony, I'm not going to go and sort of harp on about how poor the window was, but I still believe, I was saying to you after the game against Lazio, I think if we went out and properly strengthened the positions that required, and we had a stronger bench, we would have beat Lazio. I think the game was there for the taking, but we just didn't have the squad to capitalise on that. It's one of the ones, head and heart, to say two different things. I think Atletico Madrid are a very, very good team, and if they turn up, so I put the title on, then it's going to be damage limitation. You've just got to hope that some of the players can have the performance of their lives. Like, they've got it in them to hurt teams. There's players in there who can hurt any side. Guys like Hattati, guys like O'Reilly, McGregor, Kyogo. If they're on their game, they can hurt you, regardless of who it is, and they can make things happen. But you just need to hope that the wee decisions go your way, the 50-50s, things like that. Need to sort of align and fall in your favour. And then you've got to take, obviously, the players need to have the attitude, look first to every second ball, and really just sort of putting everything on the line. But I don't get me wrong, I'm looking forward to it. It's another game in the Champions League, but there's still plenty there to play for. It's not completely over, although we've had the worst start you could imagine in losing twice, and the fashion we lost as well obviously doesn't help. But I'm looking at the game and hoping for the best, Darren, but I think I'm probably a bit aware of what could happen here. I've got threats out of the park, and again, they're a physical side and we're not. And that also worries me slightly, but I'm hopeful that the stars can align and we can finally get that win, because I think that'll do a massive amount, not just for this season, but for seasons going forward, because it's been fucking long enough now. We've not had a home victory in the Champions League, and it's just, you just want that gone.
Definitely, and like you say, but I'm sort of no too down on it. I think that I know Atletico handed an absolute doing earlier in the season in La Liga to a team away from home, but I think it's probably going to be another tight game. But the problem is that Atletico are one of the sort of streetwise teams in Europe who will punish you when you make mistakes, and that's sort of what happened to us against Lazio. Like, I thought the goal we conceded in the first half was really poor defended from the set piece, and then I still at times can't believe that we conceded the second goal, just because Lazio seemed to have backed up and were halfway back to Rome happy with a point, and then obviously Vickers makes a bit of an error, and then we're caught out and they score in injury time when it didn't look possible that they were going to win that game. But I think that Atletico are probably just an R team like that, where they're just going to punish you if you make mistakes, and that's a worry that, like, we need everybody to be on it. And look, you know what, Vickers will be there with a couple more weeks in him, and Atati's hitting better form. If O'Reilly performs again, you've now got Kyogo, who's scored in the Champions League, which some people still questioning, but that goal we scored against Lazio, it was one of the best goals I've ever seen us score in Europe. The link-up play to get Kyogo in, and the finish was brilliant. I thought that it was really good, and I think that night should have been the night that we did sort of get rid of that awful record of no winning at home. And as I said, if it's no for my disflick, then Palma's goal probably still, you probably still get the same outcome, and Palma's goal just counts, and we would have seen it out, I'm sure. But no, I don't know. Atletico, as I say, I think they might be too streetwise for us, and if we did making any mistakes or with too many passengers, then there's every chance we're going to get punished. And look, they'll be looking to take 6 points out of this next doubleheader and sort of seal their passage to the last 16. But who knows, we'll hopefully be back next week discussing a famous Celtic win against Atletico. But we've gone over 45 minutes, so we'll just wrap it up there. We'll try and be back after the Atletico game. Tony, I'll come to you. I'll take your two predictions for the Hearts game and the Atletico Madrid game.
I'm going to go for the same scoreline for both games, and two away wins. So 2-0 Celtic v Hearts and 2-0 Atletico Madrid versus Celtic at Celtic Park. I've been optimistic as much as I can, and I'm just going to be realistic. So that's it. That's my prediction. But the most important thing I know is we beat Hearts and we at least stay 7 clear and try and win the league, which is obviously pivotal.
Yep, aye. Well, when you say you were going to predict two the same result there, I thought you were going to tip Hearts to beat us as well. So I'm glad you've just went for two away wins somehow. But Andy, what's your prediction for the two?
I reckon go for a 3-0 win against Hearts. And I don't want to be too negative. But I'll say a 2-1 victory Celtic against Atletico. That's gone with my heart and just crossing all my fingers and toes and hoping for the best.
I would definitely take that. I think it'll be pretty similar on the scoreline to you at Tynecastle. I think it'll be 3-1 to Celtic. I think that, as I say, it doesn't really worry me. I think as long as we get the first goal, I know, as mentioned, we've not got a massive support there just because of the cut allocation, but I don't think that will stop us from having too much for them. I think Rodgers will just run rings around Naismith. I'll go for 3-1 that day. And I'll go for a draw at home against Atletico. I think it'll be one each. I think that we're no far away. And Lazio got a draw against them. And Bayern took the lead against them twice. So they're obviously no... You're not coming up against a team like Man City or Bayern Munich or whatever that you just think there's pretty much next to any chance. I think we do have a fighting chance, but it probably is just, as you mentioned, being very much focused on us having 11 players that turn up and gear an 8 or 9 out of 10 and not making any mistakes. That's probably our best hope. But we'll be back next week after the Atletico game, hopefully discussing a massive win. If you've enjoyed it, leave a like or share and subscribe. Follow us on all social media. It's just search for Pod Tims or Four Tims a Podcast. You'll find us wherever you use your social media. But thank you very much for taking time to listen, and we will speak to you next week. Hail, hail.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.